Trinadapi sunichena, tarariva sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Hare nama, hare nama, hare nama ibikibalam. Kalo nastyeva, 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 gatir anyata. I have been requested to speak on this book. This is a very important book in the Krishna consciousness movement called The Nectar of Instruction. What's so important about this book is that in 11 verses, if anyone practices these 11 shlokas, one can become perfect in God realization. One little book. And you're all requested before you leave tonight to take one of these books home. They're being distributed and sold right out here in the lobby, and I highly recommend. I first read this book when it first came out in 1975. Actually, by Krishna's grace, I got a bootleg copy in 1974. So I'm only going to speak on one of the verses, which to me has always been my favorite of all the 11 verses. So I would ask all of you to try to hear attentively. That is the secret of success, is to hear with rapt attention. So I beg you, with straw in my teeth, please turn off your cell phones so that you won't be distracted. I'll try to do this in a most palatable way. I'll even try to cut a few jokes if I can. That always helps the process. Like medicine, you disguise the medicine with some sugar. They even had one song. A little bit of sugar helps the medicine go down. So this book was written maybe 400 or 500 years ago by a disciple of Lord Chaitanya. Of course, our temple here, Panchatattva, the central deity is Lord Chaitanya. And one of his main direct disciples was Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami is one of the founding fathers of this movement. In another book, Srila Prabhupada says that we are all followers of this Rupa Goswami. Therefore, anyone who joins this movement is known as Rupanuga. The devotee that was just speaking, that's his name, Rupanuga Das. But we are all Rupanugas because we're all under the guidance and shelter and instruction of Rupa Goswami, because it was through him that Lord Chaitanya established his philosophy. So verse number 7, allow me to chant the Sanskrit. Siyat Krishna nama charitadi sitapya vidya pito patapta rasanasya narochikanu quint vadarad anudinang kalu saiva justa svadvikramad bhavatitad gadamulahantri. Translation. And I would ask you to please repeat after me, if you would. The holy name, character pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, like sugar candy. So that's the first sentence. Let's just digest that, because this is like the main mission of this verse, many things are going to be learned today. This is quite a lot. So the first thing Rupa Goswami is establishing is that Krishna is absolute. God is absolute. So whether it be God's name or fame or form, pastimes, entourage, anything directly related to God is as good as God. This is the meaning of absolute. Our whole Hare Krishna movement is based on this principle. We are known as the Hare Krishna movement. Why? Because our whole movement is based on chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. There it is. Everybody, Hare Krishna. So, the first thing one learns in this movement, the name Krishna is as good as the person Krishna. There's no difference. Many people, they say, oh, I want to see God. No, first you should hear God. And you hear God by listening to his holy name. Those of you who may be coming from the Christian tradition, hallowed be thy name. We are 100% behind that statement. That statement is the absolute truth. God's name is the most holy thing. And we take it a step further. Not only is God's name holy, but when you take God's name, not in vain, but when you chant God's name with just a little bit of love and attention and reverence, you become holy. Very simple process. Simply chant God's name, you will become purified. So now Rupa Goswami is saying, Krishna's name, his character, his pastimes, his activities are transcendentally sweet. Kids, all the kids love sweets. My grandson, he's now 15. But when he was living with me in the first 5-6 years, he didn't have a sweet tooth. He had sweet teeth. All he wanted to do was eat sweets. Even we would hide sweets, he would figure out some way, crawl up there and get the sweets. Until this day, he loves sweets. So everybody loves something sweet. And when you come to Krishna consciousness, you come in contact with a whole new menu of sweets. I couldn't believe it. When I first joined this movement, every Sunday there was a new sweet. Gulab Jamun, Sandesh, Rasgulla, Rubri. Every day was, well, these guys don't run out of sweets. Yes, they have so many. And those of you, Bengal is famous for Bengali sweets. Am I right, Maharaj? Right? When I went to India, 1988, I was in Calcutta. So my friend said, come with me. And he took me not far from the temple. And he showed me this big as this temple, all sweets. It was beautiful. Like a kid, like they say, kid in the candy store. So Krishna's name is transcendentally sweet, Rupa Goswami is saying. God's name is sweet. In fact, Rupa Goswami has written a song, Madhurang Madhuram Madhuram. There's nothing sweeter than God's name. Nothing. You're not going to find anything sweeter than the holy name of God. All right, let's go to sentence number 2. Please repeat. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya. So avidya means ignorance, okay? Just keep that in mind. Avidya means ignorance. Please repeat. cannot taste anything sweet. So let's stop there. So, it is a medical fact. If you have this disease, jaundice, maybe some of you have had experienced jaundice. When you have this jaundice, you cannot taste anything sweet. Something sweet to someone with jaundice is so bitter, he spits it out. Can you believe it? Who spits out sweets? But when you have jaundice, something sweet. Why? Because you're diseased. You're not in a normal condition. So, Rupa Goswami is going to use this analogy. First, he mentioned Krishna's name is sweet. But we are afflicted with a different kind of jaundice. The jaundice of ignorance. What is this ignorance? I'm American. I'm man. I'm woman. I'm black. Yo, bro. I'm white. I'm young. I'm old. I am the boss. I am president. We identify with so many things in this material world. This is all ignorance, a misconception. And that's why in Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, first thing Krishna settles up is this point. In Bhagavad Gita, there are 18 chapters. Krishna speaks in 17 of them. And throughout 17 chapters, Krishna discusses many topics. But the first topic is this point. You're not your body. You're not your mind. I have a friend, Urjaswat Das. I haven't seen him for many years, but when I was a new devotee, Urjaswat Das was a very effective preacher. He would say, Prabhu, I want you to step outside your body. I want to talk to you. No, Prabhu, step outside your body. I want to talk to you. He was emphasizing this point. That first we have to understand who we really are. Because that's the first step of self-realization. Who am I? And so Krishna, in 20 verses in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, hammers this point from different angles of vision. Telling us what we're not and what we are. What is the soul and what is the body? That must be understood distinctly. That's the first lesson of transcendental knowledge. Another way of understanding this avidya, ignorance, is also known as ahankar, false ego. Now, Prabhupada uses this term, false ego, throughout all of his books. Naturally, if he's using the term false ego, there must be true ego. Otherwise, there would be no need for the adjective false. If ego was the only thing, then he would just say ego. Like some philosophies, Buddhists, they tell you, get rid of your ego. But Bhagavad Gita teaches, no, get rid of false ego because there is true ego. There is true identity. So what is my real identity? What is our real identity? We are the eternal servant of God. Nothing more, nothing less. Eternal servant of God. False ego is something else. As soon as I see myself as something other than the eternal servant of God, that's false. It's not real. My real identity is I'm God's eternal servant. So that's ignorance. Ignorance means to think I'm not related to Krishna. I have no relationship with Krishna. I have no duty to Krishna. That's ignorance. So Rupa Goswami says, that's like jaundice. And to the degree that I have that ignorance, I can't taste Krishna's sweet holy name. That explains why many people have a hard time chanting. Because they are under this disease of ignorance. But when you're free from this misidentification, when you understand, I'm nothing more than Krishna's eternal servant, quickly and nicely you can chant Krishna's name because you are becoming free from this ignorance. Everyone, one time chant for me, please. Now the second part here, the cure. Please repeat. It is wonderful, that simply, carefully chanting, these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within the tongue. And the disease is gradually destroyed at the root. This is important. Very good. I give you a ding. Excellent. Very good. That means fixed. Very good. What's your name? Yes. Very good, Samantha. You stay focused like that. Excellent. So, the import here is, what did I say? When you have jaundice, how does sugar taste? Bitter. But the problem is, jaundice, the only cure is sugar. Huh? Yeah. But it's bitter. Too bad. You take your medicine. But I don't want to. You want to get cured? Yeah, take the bitter sugar. Now, here's what's happening. When the person, we're talking about the bodily jaundice, okay? When someone has jaundice, that sugarcane juice is so bitter, but he knows, I gotta take this to get cured. So it's very bitter. But he takes it. Because he's taking it, he's solving the root cause of the problem. Now the next time he tastes it, it's a little less bitter because he's getting cured. The more he takes the sugarcane juice, he's getting cured. It's less bitter, and then the day comes. Give me that sugar. What does that mean? He's cured. This is a medical fact. How many of you have had sugarcane juice? If you go to India or some Latin American countries, I go to Panama every year, and every year my friend and I, there's this one guy on the certain corner, he makes fresh sugarcane juice. We roll up in the SUV, chanting Hare Krishna with our posse. We roll down the window, we'll take 3 cups, please, small, medium, or large. Large. And we drink that sugarcane. Nothing beats sugar. Who agrees with me? Sugarcane juice. It's good, right? Good to the last drop. So, the problem is, when you're sick with jaundice, it's bitter. But you go on tasting, little by little, you're getting cured. How do you know you're cured? You can again taste the sweetness. It's no longer bitter. The comparison is being made by Rupa Goswami. In the same way, when we are first becoming devotees of Krishna or regaining our spiritual life, chanting is sometimes very bitter. You don't like to chant. You have no taste. But you should know, but this is the medicine. I have to take my medicine. You go to a doctor, and depending on your disease, the doctor will say, take this medicine so many times a day. and then you have to follow a certain diet, depending on the disease. Dr. Prabhupada has given a dosage, how much Hare Krishna you should take every day if you want to get cured. Who wants to get cured from ignorance? Who wants to remain in ignorance? If you do, you're in the wrong place. So yes, if you want to get cured, then the recommended dosage, here you have our medicine beads. Here it is. There's 108 beads. Don't freak out. And on each bead, you chant a simple prayer. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So that's one. Times 108. That's called one round. Times 16. Okay? That's the recommended dosage. If you want to get cured, now, of course, Prabhupada said that's the minimum. You can do more. But minimum. Now, I understand, because I've been doing this for many years, somebody is thinking, 16? Okay, start with one. Just do one every day, but do it every day. I have many students like that. I started them off with low dosage. Just do one. Because they did that one, but they did it every day, then next time I saw them, so are you ready to up the dosage? Yes. All right, go to two. Then four. Then eight. And within a year, they were doing 16. And then, after a few years, they were initiated on the altar doing devotional service. It all started from one round every day following Dr. Prabhupada. Haribo. So, keep in mind that depending on how much material contamination or ignorance or how much avidya I have, I may find it difficult. But keep in mind, it's the medicine. There's a song by Bhaktivinod Thakur. Enechi aushodhi maya. I have brought the medicine to wipe out the disease of maya. That is the Hare Krishna. There it is. And you know what's cool? It's free. The beads aren't free, but the mantra's free. I have a friend who is a pharmacist, and his father had a stroke, and we went to see him in the hospital. He survived the stroke. And his son, who was a pharmacist, told me at that time that when he had the stroke, he took one pill. How much did the pill cost? $10,000. I'm in the wrong profession. One pill, $10,000. And he still had a stroke later and died anyway. But here is the greatest medicine of them all, and it's absolutely free. Can you believe it? So the song is right. The best things in life are free. And there is the proof, the Hare Krishna mantra. Everybody, one time. All right, before we read Prabhupada's purport to this verse, does anybody have a question on what we discussed so far? Yes. Ah, this is a very good question. Your name is? Barbara. Very good, Barbara. You know there's a song about you. Yes. So, the meaning of this, these are simply the names of God. And we just said the name of God is what? Sweet. Now, anybody here a feminist? Okay, this mantra is politically correct. We have eight feminine names and eight masculine names. Equality. Isn't that great? Krishna consciousness is politically correct. So we have this word, Hare, everybody.
Hare.
So Hare is the feminine aspect of the absolute truth. And she has different names and forms. Srimati, Radharani, Lakshmi Devi, Sita. This is Hare, Mother Hara, the feminine aspect. Then we have this beautiful name, Krishna. Everybody say,
Krishna.
Krishna means all attractive. Anything we see in this world that's attractive, where is it coming from? It's coming from God. And He is the reservoir of all attractiveness. And another understanding, there are hundreds and thousands and millions of names of God throughout the world. The name Krishna includes all of them. Any name of God, it's there in this sound, Krishna. Everyone say,
Krishna.
Then we have the other masculine name, Rama. Everyone say,
Rama.
Rama means that God is the reservoir of all pleasure. So, now, you want to go further? All right, come closer, because this is confidential. Now, those of you Hindus coming from India, you all know this prayer, Vishnu Sahasranam, right? Takes about a half an hour, 40 minutes to chant. So, we learn from Lord Shiva, the great devotee, Lord Shiva. He says that this name, Rama, everyone say,
Rama.
You've just chanted 1,000 names of God. So which one you want, the 40-minute one or the 1-second one? I don't know about you, I like shortcuts. On the computer, I'm always looking for shortcuts. Cut and paste and Alt V and Control C, I'm always doing that. Right? So you simply say this name, what was that name?
Rama.
Yes, you've just chanted 1,000 names of God. Then, come closer. This is even more far out. Say the name Rama 3 times.
Rama, Rama, Rama.
You get the same benefit by one utterance of Krishna. Everybody say.
Krishna.
Now you see why this is called the Maha Mantra. Or I like to say the mantra on steroids. This is the Maha Mantra. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing greater. This is the ultimate mantra. And what's so great about it is anyone can chant it at any time, any place, any circumstance, wherever you are, no matter what. If it comes to the mind, chant it. Everybody, one time. Are you satisfied?
Yes.
Next question. No other questions? Oh, yes. First of all, your name? Yeah. Joshua, yes. Yes. Okay, there is equality and at the same time difference. The equality is God is spirit, the soul is spirit. That's how we're equal. To think that I'm equal to God in all respects, just think about it. That can't be. If I was equal to God in all respects, why do I have aches and pains? Why did I have to get porcelain teeth? Why do I have to go to school? Why do I have to die? The mere fact that we are suffering in material existence should be proof enough that we're not God. Or else my understanding of God is deficient. So the equality is one of when I'm in my constitutional position, when I'm liberated, yes, spiritually there's equality. Now, to help, I'm not saying you, but I know from experience, many people don't like when I use this word servant, because we're thinking in the material world, the slave, right? Oh, I'm just a servant. Oh, man, I'd rather reign in hell than be this. That was Satan's whole thing, right? He didn't want to be God's servant. I'd rather reign in hell. And God says, good, go ahead. Reign in hell. Have your fun. So let me pose this to you. That being the servant of God, this is really far out. Come close. It is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. To serve God is more enjoyable than trying to be God. Doesn't that blow your mind? In fact, serving God is so enjoyable, God wants to become his own servant. That's the hidden understanding of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya came, he's God, but he wanted to taste the ecstasy of being a devotee or servant of God, because that's where the bliss is, not in being God. Is this far out or what? It blows my mind like a chickpea hit by a baseball bat. That was another Urjaswat mantra. Prabhu, after stepping outside your body, after I talk to you, I'm going to blow your mind like a chickpea hit by a baseball bat, Prabhu. My mind was blown. So, this is the hidden teaching of this Hare Krishna mantra. The more I can become the servant of God, I can enjoy more than God. I love that. Yes. Does that help?
Yes.
Good. Well, I'm asking yes the question. All right? So the equality is there because God is spirit, the soul is spirit. Okay? Just that one, in order for there, this word bhakti, you've heard of this word bhakti. So in order for there to be bhakti or love, there has to be the lover and the loved. So God is the one who's loved, and we are God's lover. But if there's this relation, because spiritual life is based on love, there is a reciprocation. It's not one-sided. And another fundamental principle is that God is a person. Are you married? You have a girlfriend? Okay. So when there is a, like a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband and wife, in order for it to work, there has to be give and take. Husband serves the wife, wife serves the husband, they live happy together, right? It's not one, a one-sided relationship won't work. It has to be give and take. So that can only happen if God is a person. You see, everything here is personal. So, and Krishna mentions this in Bhagavad Gita, that as you serve me, I reciprocate. In other words, it's not one-sided. You just give and give and give. No. As we serve God, he reciprocates. What does he reciprocate? First, there's knowledge. Then there's different feelings of ecstasy. There is a progression of the exchange of loving service between God and the devotee. And it goes through stages: servant, friendship, parental, conjugal. Conjugal! Yes, conjugal. That is what Lord Chaitanya is teaching. You can have a conjugal relationship with God. Do you like that idea? Yes, me too. Here it is, this picture. the conjugal relationship with God. And if you want it bad enough, you can be in that picture. It's up to you. When I speak to high schools and colleges, I put the different rasas on the board. First, I ask the students, how many atheists we got? And I said, okay, well, I can't help you. But in the class, those who are theists, I start with passive adoration. Then I list servant, friend, parental, and conjugal. Then I explain a little bit. Then I ask the students, so which one do you like? Which one do you are attracted to? Do you want to worship and love God as the great omnipotent Oz? Or do you want to be the humble servant? Or do you want to be God's friend? Wrestle with him? Play with him? Do you want to be God's parent where you have to take care of him? Or do you want to be God's lover? The choice is yours. Find the one that attracts you and go for it. In this way, you will enjoy like you've never enjoyed before. But you're still the servant. What do you think? All right, he gave me a thumbs up. More questions. I think you had a question. No? Anybody else have a question? Ruben Ugadaz. The difference is that God is the one served or in the superior position. The devotee is in the subordinate position. That's the difference. But we're on the same platform. Fair enough? More questions. I love questions. Yes, sir. Very good. What's the ultimate way to serve God? The ultimate way to serve God is to love him and then by that love, give that love that you've got, give it to others. So even if you only know one thing, share it. Give it to others. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Kamlesh can confirm, there is no servant in this world more dear to me than one who shares this knowledge to others. So, why do you think I'm doing what I'm doing? I'm selfish. So, whatever you have learned about God, give it. Give it, give it. Now, here's what I love. You're going to like this. Say I'm Warren Buffett. Yeah, right. But just say I am, right? So let's say one day Warren Buffett is in a good mood and he decides, I'm going to give $1 billion to all the Hare Krishna temples in the world. Warren, are you listening? I'm on the internet right now. This class is being broadcast around the world. Warren, if you're listening, give me a call. Let's do lunch. So if Warren decides to distribute $1 billion, his account is $1 billion less, right? He's giving it away. But with your spiritual bank account, you have a spiritual bank account. If you give that away, at the end of the day, your account has doubled. Talk about return on investment. So whatever you have understood, give it out. Give it. And Krishna will bless you 100 times over. That's all Krishna wants. Whatever he has given you, you give it to others. Is that all right? Now, the temple has a great program. You go on book distribution when? Every Saturday you go out? Yes, you go out every Saturday. If you can join what's called the Sankirtan Party, you want, go with them, distribute these books. Oh. Before, within a year, you'll be up here. You'll be like me. Good? All right on, brother. All right, what else we got? More questions. Yes.
The analogy that I had before was that a drop of the ocean and the ocean itself, the drop of the ocean has characteristics of the similar, such as the salt and the minerals and other things of the ocean, but the drop itself is not the ocean.
Right. It's very small in comparison to the great ocean. Yes. Very good. Yes, Barbara.
I like that symbol of the ocean and the drop. But we are identified in DNA. And there is a difference between the drop and the ocean, but not in its DNA. So therefore, there is where all the oneness, and where you may call it soul, the spirituality, that is where we are all the same.
Confirmed. More questions. Yes, sir. I'll try my best. Well, okay. As far as Manu, there are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma. So a day of Brahma is millions and millions of earth years. And within, there's 14 of such Manus. So the Manu was existing thousands and thousands of years prior to what you would say modern day time calculation, if that's any help to you. Well, no, the Manu is existing now. He's existing now. He has been existing for many hundreds of years. Now, you want to see him, it's a different story. Okay, the first man is Lord Brahma at the time of creation. Okay? So as far as Manu, so like I said, there are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma. So in a Manu, in a lifetime of a Manu, this is the age of Kali. All right, before this was the age of Dwarapa, before this the age of Treta and Satya. You take all of those, that's called a Divya Yuga. Manu lives for 71 Divya Yuga cycles. So he's been living for thousands of years already. This is only one little Kali Yuga. There have been hundreds of them. There's been so many Kali Yugas. It's hard if you're trying to equate, modern day stuff with this. It's hard. I've tried the best I can. I don't know what to tell you. I'm a little guy. I only know a little few things. Sorry I couldn't help you more. Any other question that I hope I can answer? Are we happy?
Yes.
All right. Can I read Prabhupada's purport to this verse?
Yes.
All right. Then you have to sit properly. So this is Prabhupada's purport to this verse. The holy name of Lord Krishna, his quality, pastimes, and so forth, are all of the nature of absolute truth, beauty, and bliss. Naturally, they are very sweet, like sugar candy, which appeals to everyone. Nescience, however, is compared to the disease called jaundice, which is caused by bilious secretions. Attacked by jaundice, the tongue of a diseased person cannot palatably relish sugar candy. Rather, a person with jaundice considers something sweet to taste very bitter. Avidya, or ignorance, similarly perverts the ability to relish the transcendental, palatable name, quality, form, and pastimes of Krishna. Despite this disease, if one with great care and attention takes to Krishna consciousness, chanting the holy name and hearing Krishna's transcendental pastimes, one's ignorance will be destroyed and one's tongue enabled to taste the sweetness of the transcendental nature of Krishna and his paraphernalia. Such a recovery of spiritual health is possible only by the regular cultivation of Krishna consciousness. When a man in the material world takes more interest in the materialistic way of life rather than in Krishna consciousness, he is considered to be in a diseased condition. The normal condition is to remain an eternal servant of the Lord. Then Prabhupada gives the reference, Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnara Nityadas, spoken by Lord Chaitanya himself. This healthy condition is lost when the living entity forgets Krishna due to being attracted by the external features of Krishna's Maya energy. This world of Maya is called Durashraya, which means false or bad shelter. One who puts his faith in Durashray becomes a candidate for hoping against hope, just like Los Angeles Lakers. That was not in the purport. That was one of those jokes I was referring to. In the material world, everyone is trying to become happy, and although their material attempts are baffled in every way, due to their nescience, they cannot understand their mistakes. People try to rectify one mistake by making another mistake. Oh, I could really go off on that one some other time. I love that one. That is the way of the struggle for existence in the material world. If one in this condition is advised to take to Krishna consciousness and be happy, one does not accept such instructions. The Krishna consciousness movement is being spread all over the world just to remedy this gross ignorance. People in general are misled by blind leaders. The leaders of human society, the politicians, philosophers, and scientists, are blind because they are not Krishna conscious. According to Bhagavad Gita, because they are bereft of all factual knowledge due to their atheistic way of life, they are actually sinful rascals and are lowest among men. And then Prabhupada quotes where he's getting this from, Bhagavad Gita. Namang duskritino mudha parpadyante naradama maya parita jnana asurang bhavam asrita. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. I'm sure we all know somebody like that in our lives. I've met many of them. Such people never surrender to Krishna, and they oppose the endeavor of those who wish to take Krishna's shelter. When such atheists become leaders of society, the entire atmosphere is surcharged with nescience. In such a condition, people do not become very enthusiastic to receive this Krishna consciousness movement, just as a diseased person suffering from jaundice does not relish the taste of sugar candy. However, one must know that for jaundice, sugar candy is the only specific medicine. Similarly, in the present confused state of humanity, Krishna consciousness, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Everybody? Is the only remedy for setting the world aright. Although Krishna consciousness may not be very palatable for a diseased person, Srila Rupa Goswami nonetheless advises that if one wants to be cured of the material disease, he must take to it with great care and attention. One begins his treatment by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, because by chanting this holy name of the Lord, a person in the material condition will be relieved from all misconceptions. Avidya, a misconception about one's spiritual identity, provides the foundation for ahankar, or false ego, within the heart. The real disease is in the heart. If the mind is cleansed, however, if consciousness is cleansed, a person cannot be harmed by the material disease. To cleanse the mind and heart from all misconceptions, one should take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is both easy and beneficial. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is immediately freed from the blazing fire of material existence. There are three stages in chanting the holy name of the Lord: the offensive stage, the stage of lessening offenses, and the pure stage. When a neophyte takes to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, he generally commits many offenses. There are 10 basic offenses, and if the devotee avoids these, he can glimpse the next stage, which is situated between offensive chanting and pure chanting. When one attains the pure stage, he is immediately liberated. This is called Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam. As soon as one is liberated from the blazing fire of material existence, he can relish the taste of transcendental life. The conclusion is that in order to get freed from the material disease, one must take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for creating an atmosphere in which people can take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. One must begin with faith, and with this faith is increased by chanting, a person can become a member of the society. We are sending Sankirtan parties all over the world, and they are experiencing that even in the remotest part of the world, where there is no knowledge of Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra attracts thousands of men to our camp. In some areas, people begin to imitate the devotees by shaving their heads and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra only a few days after hearing the mantra. This may be imitative, but imitation of a good thing is desired. Some imitators gradually become interested in being initiated by the spiritual master and offer themselves for initiation. If one is sincere, he is initiated, and this stage is called Bhajana Kriya. One then actually engages in the service of the Lord by regularly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra 16 rounds daily and refraining from illicit sex, intoxicants, meat eating, and gambling. By Bhajana Kriya, one attains freedom from the contamination of materialistic life. He no longer goes to a restaurant or hotel to taste so-called palatable dishes made with meat and onions, nor does he care to smoke or drink tea or coffee. He not only refrains from illicit sex, but avoids sex life entirely. Nor is he interested in wasting his time in speculating or gambling. In this way, it is to be understood that one is becoming cleansed of unwanted things. This is called anartha nivritti. The word anartha refers to unwanted things. Anarthas are vanquished when one becomes attached to the Krishna consciousness movement. When a person is relieved from unwanted things, he becomes fixed in executing his Krishna activities. Indeed, he becomes attached to such activities and experiences ecstasy in executing devotional service. This is called bhava, the preliminary awakening of dormant love of Godhead. Thus, the conditioned soul becomes free from material existence and loses interest in the bodily concept of life, including material opulence, material knowledge, and material attraction of all variety. At such a time, one can understand who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is and what his Maya is. Although Maya may be present, it cannot disturb a devotee once he attains the bhava stage. This is because the devotee can see the real position of Maya. Maya means forgetfulness of Krishna, and forgetfulness of Krishna and Krishna consciousness stand side by side like light and shadow. If one remains in shadow, he cannot enjoy the facilities offered by light. And if one remains in light, he cannot be disturbed by the darkness of shadow. By taking to Krishna consciousness, one gradually becomes liberated and remains in light. Indeed, he does not even touch the darkness. As confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna, Surya Sama, Maya Hai, Andhakar, Jahan Krishna Tahan Nahi, Mayar Adhikar. Krishna is compared to sunshine, and Maya is compared to darkness. Wherever there is sunshine, there cannot be darkness. As soon as one takes to Krishna consciousness, the darkness of illusion, the influence of the external energy, would immediately vanish. Thank you very much for listening. If you allow me, I would like to give you a blessing. Who would like a blessing? And fold your hands over your hearts. My dear Lord Krishna, please bless all these nice devotees here in this wonderful temple room of ISKCON Laguna Beach, home of the Panchatattva. My dear Lord, please shine very brightly in everyone's heart. Remove all the obstacles in each devotee's life. And may they feel your presence more and more in their lives. And may they take shelter of you more and more. And may they become ever blissful in the knowledge that they are your eternal servant. Okay, everyone, raise your hand. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare. And for all the mothers, happy Mother's Day. Thank you very much.